In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Brandon Cutie, Sal Licata back on the Fan. It's been a Juan Soto day today on this Tuesday, BT. We started the show a couple hours ago talking about who needs it more. Is it Hal Steinbrenner needing to retain Juan Soto or Steve Cohen needing to steal Juan Soto from the Yankees? Look, I think both owners need this to happen. I think both teams need the player to come back, but I think Hal Steinbrenner needs it more, being that they are the Yankees and they're held to the higher standard and that they had the player in. They traded for him. They went to the World Series with him. I think it would hurt the Yankees more to lose Juan Soto than it would hurt Steve Cohen and the Mets not to get Juan Soto.
See, the things that would impact that, in if people subscribe to what you just said, it's not going to play out for a while. I think in terms of the court of public opinion, it's going to be ugly for the Yankees if they lose him to the Mets. And the symbolism of signing him versus not, it's going to be a real thing until you actually get down to the business of building out the rest of this team, which has a ton of flaws. And we talked about it a million times, and it was very evident during the World Series. And quite frankly, if the opponent was better in either the ALDS or the ALCS, maybe the Yankees wouldn't have even got to the World Series. They've got work to do. I would love that work to include Soto, but, you know, when you look at a lineup that doesn't catch the ball particularly well, that doesn't really have many assets on the bases, that have too many lower average hitters and higher strikeout guys, still, I think that there's multiple ways to build the team. I want him. On some level, they need him, but if they don't, there's another route. And I'm okay with that. Right, and I've said that for about a month or so now.
But building a team is different, which we can get to that conversation for each of these teams in the event that they don't have Juan Soto. The owners, though, when you pin Hal versus Steve Cohen, I do think it hurts Hal if he were to lose him more so than would hurt Cohen not to bring him in.
Okay, now think about this. Let's play it out. Hurts him how? Hurts him by people calling us up and screaming and you know, ranting and raving about Hal?
No,
I mean, he's still going to have 40,000 people there every night because the Yankees are still going to be a good team.
I mean, we'll see. Well, we'll see how that works out. But he said we could have the ability to sign any player we want. And then you're going to get outbid and lose to the Mets? Like, that's never happened before. The Yankees have never lost to the Mets in any area that it has mattered, and especially in the offseason. The offseason, the Yankees have always won. I mean, in season, the Yankees have won too, whether it's the World Series or the all-time Subway Series record, you know it. Yeah. I mean, the Yankees are the Yankees, the Mets are the Mets. So for the Mets, it might just be another loss. Whereas with the Yankees, you're now losing to the Mets head-to-head. How losing to Steve Cohen directly in this particular
game? Yeah, and some people get wrapped up in that. And again, I don't mean the immediacy, the aftermath of, you know, hey, it's announced breaking news here on BT and Sal. Soto, you know, 13-year, $705 million deal with the Mets as they stave off. By the way, we just heard before that the Red Sox have added a year or even plural years and money to their offer. So, yeah, this thing is fluid, and everybody's got, at least of the five suitors, you know, a very strong iron in the fire. We'll see what happens. But I look at, I'll bring Mara into the equation for a second. So, we're talking a lot about Shane and Dable, and see, I don't hang too literally on what these owners say, because the owner of the Giants told us a month, October 24th, doesn't anticipate moving on from Shane and Dable, and we are now up to our necks in conversations about who might replace Shane and Dable because the circumstances that have presented themselves, they're terrible. And, you know, Mara, as I pointed out the next day, left the door ajar. Like, I could always go back and not look like I lied. Hey, I didn't anticipate this, but we lost to the Panthers in Germany, whatever else might happen. Hal has already left the door open when he says, and what was the exact quote? There's we can sign anybody that we want.
Basically,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Or there's nobody that we can't sign. That's what it was.
Yeah, we have the ability to sign any player we want.
We have the ability to sign any player we want. He could always go out there and say, listen, we wanted to re-sign Juan Soto, but based on where it got, we deemed it irresponsible, and we are now prepared to pivot and have a better team next year. Now, that might not satisfy the people who want to knock down the stadium who are pissed, wrapped up in the whole Yankee-Met thing, but it doesn't mean that the Yankees can't be better.
Right, but what if they're worse?
Well, then that's a possibility.
It's a very good possibility. I mean, they haven't gotten to a World Series since 2009 without Juan Soto. They bring Juan Soto in, they get to the World Series. Now you're going to let that guy walk and think that you're going to be better? So for the Yankee fans to be satisfied, they have to not only get to the World Series, because that would be equal to what they did with Soto, they have to win the World Series. Hal would, in this case, be leaving himself wide open for not even second-guessing, first-guessing, and ridicule, and fans being angry and upset. Not to mention that if Soto did sign with the Mets, there's going to be excitement that the Yankees had this year with Juan Soto that the Mets would have next year.
Maybe
with
Juan Soto.
I mean, there's going to be excitement regardless in the regular season. The results may vary, but there's going to be excitement every time Juan Soto sets foot in the Citi Field batter's box. I mean, that's just it. The results have to follow, and you would expect that they would, but they might not. But either way, that shiny new toy, that player that the Yankees traded for last year, that player that succeeded to an MVP-type level last year, created one of the great tandems that the sport has ever seen with Soto and Judge, he would have left the New York Yankees to go with the Mets. I don't know how he recovers from that other than building a team that wins a World Series, which he hasn't been able to do since 2009.
I mean, Boone's won, what, 101 games, mm-hmm. 99 games a couple of times. So that's not making it seem like we're sitting here and the Yankees have been the Royals forever, and then they finally get Juan Soto and they have a good year and they get to the World Series. I mean, the Yankees are always, and even a couple of years, even last year when Aaron Judge got hurt, I mean, I think he's going to win the MVP if he doesn't run into the wall. And instead of winning 82 games, whatever it was, they're going to win 90. And they're definitely a playoff team there. Listen, here's what I know about emotion, whether it's excitement or anger. Emotion always eventually dissipates. And then once that is dialed down, after being throttled up to a level that will be insane, I grant you that, one way or the other for these Yankees and Mets fans, it's gonna recalibrate a bit. And then the Mets will go on, if they get Soto, with the business of trying to retain Manaea, doing the other things they got to do, and then the Yankees will do what they need to do to build a better team. Or a team that's comparable. I also know this. I know they're not like us out there in San Diego, and I know that, you know, even though sports radio in San Diego exists, it's not like this. I promise you that even for a fairly sedate fan base, when they traded Juan Soto, Padre fans were going nuts. Guess what happened? They won 11 more games than they did with Juan Soto.
Right.
That's a fact.
I know, but the Yankees have not proven to build a team that could get to a World Series without him. Also, the holes that they have all over the place, like, that's not Juan Soto's fault. Really, what should be going on here is the Yankees signing Juan Soto, bringing him back, and adding to it to get better. And if they don't do that, I don't know how, especially if he loses them to Steve Cohen, it will be the first time that the Mets won up the Yankees, and it could be a harbinger for both these franchises moving forward. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ryan is in Edgewater. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just want to give a quick shout out to BT for his podcast, doing a real nice job with that.
I appreciate that. That's the Jets, the Unkillable Jets pod. Check it out. Thank you very much. That means a lot. Thanks, dude. I'm having fun.
Yeah, not a Jets fan, big time Bills Mafia guy, but nothing fires me up more than some Jet misery.
So, glad to help you.
Look forward to, yeah.
There you go.
Happy to assist.
Quick thing on the Soto. The Yankees have to get Soto, and the reason why is Walker, Santander, and Bregman remind me a lot of, guess what? DJ LeMahieu, Anthony Rizzo, and Josh Donaldson.
Oh, that's you not guys fair. Hold on, Ry. That's Soto woefully off base, Ry.
Let me just make a point.
Go ahead.
Soto is a guaranteed thing. Mm. As much as we want to say about the holes the Yankees roster.
Yep.
They haven't made it this far ever, and they had Soto last year, even with all the bad things on that team last year. Look around the AL East and the AL. This is the Yankees' window. Like, there is no one else coming. Like, what we saw last year, there's no big threat. Whereas Soto goes to the Mets, there's still no shot. The Dodgers, the Braves, the Padres, a healthy Braves team this year, the Mets don't even make the playoffs.
I agree, I mean, probably.
There was lightning. The Mets are lightning in a bottle, as much as Sal and the Mets fans want to say, since June 1st, look at the Mets record, whatever. I mean,
Ryan, you got to let us talk. We were going to have a conversation, but you would not stop talking, so now I have to hang up on you to give our point. I wish we could have furthered that conversation. You can't just gloss over facts. Me talking about the Mets, and I want this to be crystal clear, has nothing to do with the fact that I grew up a Mets fan. I can assure you that on both this radio station and SNY, nobody in this town has ripped the Mets more than I have ripped the Mets when the time is right. Factually, the New York Mets had the best record in baseball from June on. That's not a Met fan saying that. That's a fact. Now, you want to minimize that, that's fine. We have even said, like, their time's going to run out. They just don't have enough. Mm-hmm. They didn't have enough. But let's not minimize what the Mets did or where they could go. They have a lot of work to do. They have an entire staff, basically, that they have to rebuild. But they do have pieces in place that did have success in a year where almost nobody thought they were going to have success. They did. You can't just take that away and ignore the facts because you're convinced, the Mets, they got lucky, lightning in a bottle. That's not what happened.
No, I don't think that's what happened, although I think it's a little selective when we reference the June 1st record because the last time I checked, it's 162-game season, and I choose to look at my evaluation as what happens on opening day in late March until for the regular season after 162 in late September, early October, and then the second phase of evaluation is what do you look like in the playoffs. But no, listen, the Mets, they're interesting. They got a long way to go. They got some gamers. They got a good manager. Got a good GM. They got a deep-pocketed owner who's motivated. So the things that you haven't had, you've had some great players. You had David Wright. You had Carlos Beltran. You had Jacob deGrom. You had a couple of other interesting young pitchers that either went, you know, sideways with injuries, whatever it may have been, lack of focus, like Matt Harvey. What I don't think that you've really ever had quite like this is the alignment of that trio.
Right.
And that is the manager who seems to... Now, I also want to see year two, but I think Mendy's very good. David Stearns is clearly very good. And Cohen means business. And it's a good starting point.
And they have no bad contracts on the books. The financial landscape of the Mets right now is in a great spot. Also, like to say, well, the Mets wouldn't have made the playoffs if the Braves were healthy. They weren't healthy. So... They didn't make the playoffs. Like, what do you want to tell you? The Mets made the playoffs. The Mets beat the Braves head-to-head when they had to. They also played the Phillies, who I was told the Mets couldn't beat the Phillies last year. The Mets couldn't beat the Phillies. Mets can't compete with the Phillies and Braves. Then when they did meet the Phillies, who had the home field advantage and the better record and won the division, they beat them. And it beat them in four games.
Then they beat them 3 out of 4, right? I'm talking about the regular season. That four-game series. Because
yes.
We went to one of those.
The one that they lost.
And that was the only game that they got rubbed down. That was the game we went to.
Like, it's easy to rip on the Mets. I get it. And we will criticize them and we'll critique and see how they build this team. You can't take away from what they did a year ago. And you can't just say it was because the Braves got injured. I mean, come on. The Dodgers were significantly better. The Mets beat them twice. I mean, what do you want to tell you? They got to the NLCS. Nobody thought that was even possible. They got there. That's not magic. Steve Cohen didn't wave his magic wand and say all of a sudden, whoa, here we go, poof, we're going to be in the NLCS. They did it. They earned it. To take that away from them, to me, doesn't feel right. It doesn't mean that they're going to get there this year. There are no guarantees. That's what happens in sports. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe the mix of players that they bring in now aren't as good as the mix of players that happened a year ago, where they had the expectation with Scherzer or Verlander 2 years ago, and they fell flat on their face. That could happen again. But let's not minimize the success that they had last year or be blind to where they're at as an organization. You could argue that they are in as good a spot as anybody in the sport right now with the resources of the owner, where they're at with the financial flexibility, and with the, as you mentioned, BT, the trio that they have in place. Now they got to go out there and do it. That's the hard part, going out there and doing it.
Listen, I'm watching the Mets here. They were competitive. I thought they had really good chemistry. And they were a fun watch. Like, once they figured out how to play... And you see, like, chemistry's weird because usually chemistry, the offensive line or the Knicks with 45 assists last night. We'll get to them a little later. Their offense looks great. You know, like, chemistry is identifiable in certain spots. Baseball, we rarely attach value to it because really it's a team sport, but it's a team sport disguised by a series of individual actions. I get in the batter's box by myself. The ball's hit my way. Granted, I might have to call somebody off, but I make the play or I don't. It's like a pulling guard, has to do his job to open up a hole. And if he doesn't do it, then this is adversely impacted. It's very different. So I wouldn't lean on chemistry as the one of the main, I'm not saying you are, one of the main reasons why the Mets will be really good moving forward. Because I do think that's going to be hard to recapture and hard to recreate. I think there was a bit of an overachievement with certain guys. But what stands firm is the guy in the dugout, the guy in the front office, and the owner.
Right.
And they've never really had that.
Well, they've built...
That's what I hang the hat on.
They've built that, quote-unquote, or they're building that culture that people like to talk about. Now they have to get, you know...
Yeah, gotta get some more ballers out there.
And better players. I mean, ultimately, like, just like the Knicks, the chemistry can only take you so far. Ultimately, you have to get better baseball players. The Mets need more of that, and that's what they're going to try to do this year, this offseason. Jason is in North Bergen, New Jersey. What's up, Jason?
Jay, what's going on, buddy?
BT, love the show.
Thanks, Jay.
Listen to Odyssey. I listen to Odyssey at night because I don't listen to anybody else.
There you go.
So if I miss your show, I listen to you guys on Odyssey.
We appreciate that very much, Jason. Thanks.
So, BT, love you. No, man, I used to listen to you on the overnight, Sal, after you took over for the schmooze. So, you know, I got to get my Sal. And so, BT, I just wanted to call you out.
Okay.
Yeah. Pause. I just wanted to call you out.
Guys.
Early during the Yamamoto moments, you ragged on Sal. You ragged on Mets fans. Once he's in pinstripes, he ain't leaving. Oh, this and that. All Yankee fans all season. He's not leaving. Mm-hmm. How's he going to leave Judge? Now it's, oh, well, if he leaves, it's 50-50. Maybe he leaves. Like, I just wanted to call you out. I love you.
Well, that's, you know, I love you too, man. It's all good. I mean, I'm sure other people share that opinion. They think it's a deflection.
Interesting, Jason.
Yeah, they think I'm coping, as we always, Soto's gone. He's got to deal with it. So this is the way he's convincing himself that it's going to be okay. So let's get a couple things on the record here. Who was the best Yankee last year? It was not Juan Soto. It was Aaron Judge. That's beyond debate. Number one, he won the MVP. Batted 322, 58 bombs. His OPS was 1,100.
Are we talking about just the regular season?
Well, yeah. We're talking 1 through 62.
And also, you just said...
1 through 162.
But you did just say, as it pertains to the Mets record, that you value what happens in April as well, no?
I do. Of course I do.
So Soto, from start to finish, was the more consistent, and I mean start to finish, April through October, he was the most consistent. I'm not going to disagree, because Judge had an all-world year. Best player I've ever seen. We were on the record of saying that. But
I can't give a pass. Yeah. I mean, I was all over him. He dropped the pop-up. That's never going to happen again. He whiffed all the time. April, he was not good in October. I don't mean to bury the lead. He was awful. He's got to be Reggie at some point.
I grant you that. Soto was better in April and better in October. He was more consistent throughout. But anyway, go ahead.
Either way. And that's a fair statement. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair statement because the slow start, and obviously Soto started playing well, and he didn't quite hit the apex that Judge did, but he was more consistent.
Right.
And then, of course, the postseason as well. So... But he wasn't the best player on the team. And I think what's happened to me is, and I admit, I didn't realize he was this bad of an outfielder. I did not. I mean, I guess I just kind of, and I look at defensive metrics, I do. I look at this stuff, not like a crazy person, but I'm familiar with it much more than just being on some surface level. I thought the guy could get to a baseball better in right field. And then I think what really hammered it home is that I watched the Dodgers do the exact opposite. Mookie Betts not letting balls get to the wall. The Dodgers possessed to take the extra base. Soto not hitting the cut. You know, Soto tagging up on a moderately, you know, not even to the warning track, fairly deep. Throw it 5 feet up the line. No chance at home plate. Those things matter. You know, and I've always railed on Gleyber Torres and that ball that trickled past him, which is criminal. I mean, thank God that Gleyber Torres is gone. There's a little aloofness and laziness and sloppiness in Juan Soto's game that I'm not afraid to say exists. Now, I didn't think it existed to this extent. I prefer to keep him, but I know I keep going back to this. 15 years, take him.
Right, but there is no perfect player. And if you're going to invest in something.
Aaron Judge is pretty perfect.
He is?
He's better than Soto in the outfield. And he's the best hitter in the league. So what's not perfect about him? He can run.
I mean.
He's got a rocket.
Did you?
He hits bombs.
Did you watch the postseason?
Okay, but listen, come on.
A big deal. And he's also 33. Like, it's not an aberration, BT, when it's happened continually for him in the postseason.
So you don't think, like,
I'm not minimizing Judge. I love Aaron Judge, but he's not a perfect player. There are no perfect players. So if I'm going to invest in something, okay, so maybe he's not the most smooth outfielder in right field. He's still got a good arm, and I still think he's more than serviceable in right, but his offensive attributes are far greater of something that I would want to invest in, especially at his age, than just nitpick and say, well, he's not a good defensive outfielder. Okay, great. Well, the Yankees have a bunch of guys who aren't good defensive players. Why not then bring back the one who can actually give you quality at-bats in New York and in the postseason? Like, that to me, his acumen in this city in the postseason outweighs his deficiencies.
They could, and they should, and I hope that they do. I'm just saying there's a plan B. And plan B to me is a lot more appealing than it is to you and some
maybe,
others.
Maybe that's true, but maybe when you watch Santander every day, you start saying,
I don't want him.
Well,
I don't want him.
Then who's going to replace the Yankees in the outfield?
I think you make a big trade. Yeah. Honestly, I think you make a big trade.
But it could go for the same thing. Oh, Christian Walker, yeah, let's go get him. Then you watch him every day. Like,
no, he's a gold glove first baseman. Yeah. He's going to hit 35 bombs. I know for a fact that he's a great fielder. Like, right. Christian Walker's the guy that I really want.
Right.
Not more than Soto. Yeah. I want Soto and Walker.
But you don't know for a fact that Walker's going to produce in New York.
Well, true. I mean, we can play the if games all day. Yeah.
And that's kind of the point. You're right. We can play the if games all day. With Soto, there is no if.
There's no ifs, but there are other absolutes that came to light this year. And maybe I'm nitpicking on the defense, nitpicking on the bases. Kind of sloppy.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back. More of your calls. 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. Tis the season. Thanksgiving just a couple of days away, BT. Have you started getting the Christmas stuff out, or where are you at with that?
Oh, my God. Yes, the house is decorated, and it looks awesome. My wife does a really good job with it. But
all inside and outside already decorated?
Oh, yeah. Remember, I told you, we had to book the lights.
That you said.
And they came a little bit earlier than I thought. We haven't turned them on yet, but they're all ready to go. Right after Thanksgiving, maybe even Thanksgiving night, we'll put them on. But it's just like one big domino that doesn't stop. Because I look back at when we were young. Well, first of all, the pressure to make everything look amazing was not existent. And like my mom would get, remember those little things? I know you know these. Yeah. Maybe like a heart for Valentine's Day or a shamrock for St. Patrick's Day that you tape on the window that costs 99 cents from Hallmark.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, my mom still does that.
She still has those.
Yeah. Stick it up on the window, Mom.
Little tape there and then like the Easter egg when Easter's coming. All right, that's fine. Okay, it worked out. My mom is amazing with the Christmas tree, but the other stuff, like she didn't go nuts. It starts week one of the NFL season where I'm sitting there saying, all right, I could still, you know, it's still warm out and I could still get maybe 6-7 rounds of golf and maybe jump in the pool a few times. And now all of a sudden I see the scarecrow coming up from the basement. Up, it's week one, it's September, it's almost Halloween. And then you start getting these like this, I don't even know what the hell you call it. It's nice, but it's too early. Like these leaves that she puts around the fireplace to represent the coming of the autumn.
Fall.
Oh, my God. And then it just extends to the outside. And then there's like pumpkin lights. It's like, it's too much. And now what I notice, and I love the holidays. I love Christmas.
Right.
The other stuff is too much. I railed on it. And I don't want to sound like the Grinch in my neighborhood here, but I'm sorry. When you're ringing my doorbell incessantly for three straight weeks before Halloween, leaving bags of candy, when you're going to get a massive bill up like a pillowcase of candy on actual Halloween, it's too much. And now we've gone from one tree to two trees to three. Now we got four trees in the house.
Oh, my God.
And you've been to my house. It's nice, but it's not a mansion. I don't live in the White
House.
Four
trees.
Four of them.
You know, I was just talking about that with my wife because we get the new house, and I'm like, man, this house actually set up to where we could have multiple trees, but I've never done that because I don't even want to decorate one at this point.
You know, I do like decorating the one, though. I enjoy that.
I know, but it's just a hassle, and now we're debating. You do real trees or fake?
We do fake. We have about a 13.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Foot artificial in the main room.
All four trees are fake?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing 4 trees?
I don't know. That's why I'm kind of vented on the air. I didn't even know we had 4 until the other day. I opened my eyes. There were 4 trees.
And you're putting all 4 up?
I'm not putting up any of them.
Okay.
I put up the big one.
Yeah.
Let me take that back.
You have to help with that.
Yeah, well, I do the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, you got to connect it. It's simple. It's like, ding, ding, ding. My in-laws got it for me a couple. It's beautiful.
Okay.
It's like, it's really big and it's symmetrical, about 13 or 14 feet, and it fits the space nicely.
Comes with the lights on it.
They are pre-lit, but then Jen put some more lights on because I like the lights, and then, you know, all the other things, and it looks amazing. And the stockings are hung, and I even put lights on the deck outside, so if we're sitting outside by a fireplace. Like, I lean into Christmas, but it is just, and this drives me nuts. Once Christmas is over, you know, and the first time, early January, one of the kids has strep throat or stuffed nose, you go to get medicine, you see the Halloween, the Valentine's Day candy right away. Right away! Right away, January 9th. All right, let me go get some Robitussin for my kid. Boom, peppered with candy and hearts. And it's ridiculous. And this is what the wives lean into. It's not us.
Yeah.
It's not us.
I barely want the one tree. I love Christmas. And
me too.
Christmas
I do love
it. But yeah, we're just saying, like, I want to be off this weekend. Like, I want to enjoy Thanksgiving with the family. Then I want nothing to do. I don't want to, all right, let's go get the decorations and where are we going to put them up? And then we got to go get this and we got to get that and get the tree. The real tree, which I always do, and I feel bad, like, not keeping tradition, but, like, my father's not here anymore. He's not going to really care about it. Like, Dad, I tried. I did it for you. I don't want to go out there in the cold and get the tree and throw it on top of the car and the needles and the pine, you know, whatever the what do you call it? The
it was tree. A balsam fir, like a type of tree?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, the sticky stuff.
The sap on the tree, dragging it through the house, putting it up, worrying about the dog, filling the water, put the lights on, put the balls on. My wife doesn't like the tinsel.
Balls. Can I tell you, though, I will say this. When, and I think this started at the end of high school, certainly I had my license, and definitely in college, I did enjoy, you know, as a young man, when I got to the point, my dad was like, all right, here's $50, go get a nice seven-footer. Yeah. And I would go...
here's $300.
I know, right? I know. I would take his car, and I would help them tie it up, and like I took great pride in then, you know, cutting it off and, you know, bringing it in the house and carrying it in. Like, I don't want to sound like that guy who doesn't love Christmas. I love it.
You were a Christmas tree worker, weren't you?
No, I didn't sell Christmas trees.
Really?
No.
Well, you look like that. I don't know why.
I look like that.
And you look like somebody who was like, yo, can I get that tree over there? And you're like, yeah, let me hold it up.
I bought enough of them that I know, I negotiated enough. Really?
I thought maybe you said like you used to sell Christmas trees at one point.
Nah, I worked at Roller Roaster. I did some construction for sure. I worked at in finance a little bit. I worked behind bars. I did a lot.
Maybe I missed that one. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, it's just the other stuff, Sal. It's just too much, and there's pressure, and everything is like, even the birthday parties are just a massive undertaking. Everything's big, and I don't hide from the fact that the older I get, the less I like people. I don't want to be around people unless I want to be around people. I don't know how else to say it. You know what I mean? I'm just going to keep it real. I don't want to walk in with 20 people. I don't want to have a party with 50 kids, 20 of whom they don't play with, but you feel like you got to invite everybody. How many, what are we doing?
How many are you walking into Thursday in Dallas?
Now that I'm looking forward, that's going to be good. That's going to be fun. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the Giants get their head handed to them. I'll be out in Dallas for that game.
BT and Sal on the fan. Michael's in Washington, D.C. What's up, Michael?
Yes. Hey, how you doing, Sal? BT, I listen to you guys all the time. You guys help me get to bed at night when I listen to you guys with the Odyssey app and put the little timer on. It's fantastic.
That's
thank
awesome.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you guys are fantastic. I was, you know, in regards to Steinbrenner versus Cohen, whether or not, you know, affects each one of them more, I personally believe this will affect Cohen more. The reason being is, you know, what does Cohen have? He has money and he has ego, right? And the ego is the main part of this right now, because you very rarely get a player of Juan Soto's caliber that is 26 years old available on the market, right? So if he gets Juan Soto on his team, all is great. The Yankees, they need a lot of plug-in pieces, right? They need new pieces on the team to help complete them, right? So I'm hearing a lot of fans, Yankees fans, talking about, you know, hey, we need new pieces to complete the team, more so than Mets fans saying, it's okay, we don't need Soto. We just have to fill in, you know, pitching or whatever other positions at first base, et cetera. So I think, you know, based off of the ego issue, you could say with Cohen, I think that if he does not get Soto, it affects them. What I think that they should do is, I know that, you know, you sign Soto. Once Soto is signed, it kind of sets up the market for the rest of the free agents that are open and available to sign.
Yep.
Well, with his money that he has, I don't understand why, you know, if he has so much, why doesn't he go ahead and sign Alonso? He hit over 30 home runs last year. I'm not a huge, huge fan of Alonso because he did have a down year, but playing baseball in college and me knowing this, he's a gamer, and I was a gamer, so I understand how baseball players...
Well, they will,
right?
But what makes you think, Michael, that they're not going to sign Soto or try to sign Soto and Alonso?
Just the way... I think they might actually do that, but I think that they should sign Alonso first as kind of like a way of showing, so, hey, we're in it to win the World Series. We're not here to play games.
So, and we appreciate the call, Michael, and thanks for the kind words. The problem with that is Alonso himself has to wait to see what market develops after Juan Soto signs. So as much as maybe the Mets would want to do that, and they tried to sign him last year, or whatever it was. Two years ago. They tried to extend him then, and he didn't want to do it. So he's going to see what the market is, but he has to wait, like all the other free agents, big free agents, to see what happens with Juan Soto.
Christian Walker's in there as well, who's going to directly impact what Pete Alonso gets. I know that we keep bringing up Walker's name, but he's the first baseman. He's older, but he's different, and certain things he's better at. Pete has more power. I think Christian's just a better baseball player. You know, the notion that because Cohen has all this money, you know, do this and do that. Now, I'm not saying that signing Pete would be a waste of money, although you can make the case that maybe he's not worth past a certain point, and we've made that case. But wealthy people, no matter how much money they have, they don't want to waste money. And I think that there's this thought, because you have a surplus of money, that you just give it away. No, the reason why they have the surplus is because they're smart in how they invest and what they reinvest into their product and how they allocate their funds. So I'm not saying that Cohen's not going to do Soto and maybe one or two or three other pieces, but it's got to be the right pieces because he's in the business of making money. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Hey, we got Baldy coming up next, right?
Yes.
All right. I can't wait to get his thoughts on what he sees, not so much from DeVito because the Giants didn't do much, just in the effort department. Did he see guys checking out? Because that's been part of the conversation about the Giants. So we will do that coming up.
BG and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're awaiting Brian Balding. He'll talk some NFL. Bills have to jam it up the A-gap. That's coming up at 1:20, a week in review. We look back at week 12. I cannot believe, BT, that we're heading to week 13. I know we say the same thing, like how
every
fast it goes.
Year.
But it really is, as you get older, it just flies. I was trying to tell my wife the other night, I'm like, look, let's start like laying out the roadmap here, because once we get to Thanksgiving, like, you know, it was Monday night, maybe we're lying in bed watching Yellowstone. By the way, you watch Yellowstone?
You asked me the other day. I've seen a few episodes. I wish I got in earlier. It's great what I've seen.
You've
got
to get into it. And there was a moment last night where we watched this latest episode. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I legitimately gasped out loud and was shocked for like at least 15 seconds. I don't remember being that shocked at an episode. Anyway,
wow.
It was that good. So I'm laying out the plans like, hey, once we get to Thanksgiving Thursday, like, it's going to be nonstop into Christmas.
Yeah.
Plus, we got stuff on the schedule. We're going to the Islanders game on December 7th.
Yep.
We're going to try to go out to the Coliseum Saturday night, man. And then on the 14th, like, weekends start to get chewed up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no time for either shopping or decorating or this or that. Like, we got to get ahead of this now.
It's called Amazon.
Yeah.
It's called Amazon.
I know, that helps.
You know, you got to help Santa out a little bit. It's called Amazon.
Yeah, yes. I know. But still, what about the decorating? Can Amazon provide that too?
That's, you know.
There's certain things that you need. You know, we need the Christmas tree. Like,
so you don't have anything up yet?
No.
Okay,
no,
all right.
I mean, and it's a new house, so we don't even know how the stuff that we do have is going
to
fit.
That's like, true. I just remember, Sal, not to get back to the conversation we just had.
No,
we'll get back
to
these calls, obviously, wait for Baldy here. But we never once had the Christmas tree up during Thanksgiving.
Right.
Ever.
No.
It was always like the first Saturday in December.
Parents used to get a real tree?
We would get a real. We had an artificial for a couple of years that we got at I remember Harrow's on Long Island. You remember Harrow's on Long Island, right?
Yeah, the pool place, absolutely.
And the Christmas tree place. Yes. That place was awesome. I loved going there. Harrow's was money.
Yeah.
Are they still open?
No, I don't think
they're
so.
Not?
At least I haven't seen one.
Okay, no, but do we have the
artificial? I don't believe so.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
We had the artificial for a little bit. Then we got the real ones. But that was always like the first Saturday in December. And I remember being in the street and playing football. My mom would call me in, you know, hot chocolate. All right, let's put the tree up. And it was great. But now it's just a lot earlier now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It just goes so fast. Anyway, point is, week 12, we're heading now to week 13 of the NFL. No buys this week. You get everybody in action. Obviously, the three games on Thanksgiving. You get the Friday, Black Friday game where last year.
That's a stinker.
You and I worked last year. God. Ahead of Timmy Boyle spinning it against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
What a boneheaded decision that was. We were so excited to be together first football year.
We wanted to be there.
Yeah.
We wanted to be there for everybody. And I thought it was a game that was going to have some meaning. So I'm like, Sal, I think we should work. Let's go. And you jumped in. You were all gung-ho for it. And Timmy throws about 137-yard pick six. As I stuffed my face with leftovers.
This Friday, we got the Chiefs and Raiders Black Friday. Would you be into that one?
No.
Yeah, probably
not. No, not at all.
No, I can't. I mean, the Chiefs, whatever, but I'm not making a point to watch that. And these holiday games, man, I'll tell you, like, I get it. I love football. I love having the football on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it's always been a tradition going to my parents' house, 12 o'clock, we're all set up, when I live there or going there, get the Lions on, whatever bet you have, but the food's starting to be made, the antipas, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by the time you're really eating dinner, you got the Cowboys game
mm-hmm.
on. So those are fine. But then the game on top of it at night where I just, especially as I've gotten older, like, I'd rather watch a Christmas movie with my family, whether it's my parents before my dad passed away, whether it's my wife and daughter now, although she'll be asleep, but whatever. Like, you get the point. I don't need to be locked into Packers, Dolphins. Like,
well, then don't be. I mean that sincerely.
I know.
Won't be, you know. Well, I mean, that's that'll be on. That'll be
Because that's a good game. But point is
Raiders, Chiefs.
Okay, fine. But then Christmas, same thing. They have games on Christmas Day. By the way, the games on Christmas Day, like, why couldn't they do it at 4 and 8? Instead, it's 1 and 4.
I know.
And there's some thought because it's on Netflix, so they want it to, across the world, have it on at a decent time overseas.
Like, of course, that's part of the motivation there.
So 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas, where, by the way, if you are going to watch anything, did the Knicks play this Christmas?
Oh, they always do. Yeah, they're playing.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think they're playing the Spurs this year.
All right.
Oh, they're definitely playing.
So Christmas Day is usually like basketball on in the background. I don't want to have to worry about whatever Christmas, the Chiefs and whoever, the Ravens, whoever they're playing on that particular day.
I won't, and I'm with you. That's the first, really, the Knicks going back to, I remember this. I mentioned this the other day when Bernard King scored 60 against the Nets on Christmas night, all right? I I don't know. Sometimes your mind plays tricks on you. I really don't think I watched that because I don't think I had MSG or Sports Channel, whatever, wherever it was, and it wasn't nationally televised. But I do remember, I guess it would have been 2 years later, the Knicks, they were awful. This is Patrick's rookie year.
Yeah.
They were terrible. They're playing Bird, McHale, Parrish, you know, Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge, Casey Jones, Bill Walton, like just a powerhouse. One of the best teams of all time, the Celtics, right? And, you know, the Knicks are trotting out Patrick and Louis Orr and Rory Sparrow and Ernie Grunfeld and Trent Tucker and, you know, basically that crew, right? Maybe Ken the Animal Bannister coming off the bench. And the Knicks are down by like 20-something points. And, like, the Knicks won 23 games that year. They were horrendous. And they came back and they won. They beat the Celtics and they beat Bird and McHale. And, like, that was the first real Christmas Day viewing that I remember. I like the option of basketball because it's a less intense watch. I think it's really unfair to families to shove football down our throat. I protest that now.
It's exactly my point. Thank you. And you can't find bigger football fans than us. Like, we love it just as much as the next person. It's not fair. I hate when they do it. Thanksgiving is one thing because it's been a tradition. Throwing on the third game on top of it, I loved it when I was 25. I don't like it now. But when you start messing with Christmas and you have a full slate on Christmas Eve, and look, it falls on a Sunday, I guess it is what it is. You just deal with it. But then to throw the additional games on top of it, this year it's Chiefs-Steelers, 1 o'clock, yeah, which is a good...
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good matchup. But on Christmas Day... You want to be having a lot. You know what the other difference is, too? They could say, well, oh, look at the millions of people that watch. Yeah, but they don't watch it the way that we watch it. And for us to watch it the way that we want to watch it, you can't do both with the family and watch the games that the way they need to be watched. And then 4:30, you get the Ravens and Texans, which is a pretty good game, too. So Christmas Day has two good games.
Yeah, and they'll be on. Funny thing, I still remember the headline from that Nick game. There were two. I believe one of them said Jolly St. Nick's and Merry Nickmas.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It was wild. And then I would be so pumped because then from the Celtics, then there's obviously early Patrick. Now you got those couple of games on Christmas against the Chicago Bulls. And that was like, all right, now we're going to ratchet up some intensity here watching this stuff. But I think it's just really insensitive for the world of sports to further complicate the American household here because there's
so greedy pigs. It makes me sick, BT.
Amen. I'm so happy you said it like that. Amen, bro. Amen. Because there's so many diversions and distractions now. First of all, it's hard enough because a lot of times both parents work because it's just everything's so much more expensive now. So the conventional meals of where everybody's, I mean, on a non-holiday meal, where people just sit down at 6 o'clock at night or 6:30 and they have a nice meal, that's out the window because number one, a lot of the moms work more so than in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. That's obvious. But also all the things that the kids have after school. We've talked about this. You're not there yet. You will be. Your daughter's still young. It's coming. And you know, practice and this and the training and that and after school this and that and how and parties and play dates. It's like, well, come on. Geez, can I breathe?
Yeah, I know.
Now you want to just shove football down my throat on Christmas? Well, that's where I don't let them win. You know what I say? I say, screw you, NFL. You're there. I'm hanging out with my family.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm going to be in pajamas all day. I'm going to be eating seafood at 7:30 in the morning when I'm watching the kids open up the gifts from Santa, the remnants from the Christmas Eve meal. And that's my day.
Knicks Spurs, 12 p.m.
Yeah, I knew it was Spurs. Yeah.
Knicks
Spurs. That'll be on in the background for sure. The Knicks are always on.
I mean, Knicks on Christmas Day just because that's the NBA. Knicks
but it's also one of 82. Yeah. It's not like in the football, there's a heaviness and an intensity with football.
That's what I mean, where you feel like you can't miss those games, especially a good slate. The least they could do is make it 4 and 8 o'clock, but of course they're not doing that because they don't care about us. Well, you're right. Screw you, NFL. We don't care about you on the holidays. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, reset, hit you with the calls as well. 888-808. Maybe get into the Knicks a little bit on the other side as well. BT, we got jamming up the A-gap. We'll do that at 120. Not sure where Baldy is. Maybe he's putting up his Christmas trees himself, but we're supposed to hear from him. We did not. We'll see what happens the rest of the show. 888-808-1019.